This episode is brought to you by Merrick Pet Care. And if you've heard me talk about Grammy, you know that she means the world to me. I wanted a dog for probably 10 years, and I was living in an apartment, couldn't have dogs. When I finally moved somewhere else, I adopted her within weeks, and it was love at first scritch. She's about 2 feet away from me as I record this. She hangs out in the studio, and all I want to do is smooch her and look at her and stare at her. I also like feeding her because I see how happy it makes her. And there's nothing like watching her lick her chops after having yummy stuff like Grammy's Paw Pie or Real Texas Beef and Sweet Potato, which are two recipes she's been enjoying from Merrick. As her parent, I like that they use deboned meat and fish or poultry as the number one ingredient. I also like that they have these real ingredients and you can see them on the bag so you know what's in each one. And watching her do a little dance, especially with a Grammy's Pot Pie recipe, brings too much joy to my heart. Is there such a thing as too much joy? I'm not sure. But check out Merrick online or in your local pet store and look for their new packaging with real ingredients shown on the bag and inside it.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Oh, hey, it's your podfather, Allie Ward. Please do join me for a special episode of the podcast program, Ologies. Now, usually we look at a specific field per week, right? This time, we're doing a deep dive into a mystery and a secret that I've kept for a few months because I was scared to tell anyone and I didn't know what was going to happen. And since I like you all to learn from my errors and sometimes my colonoscopies, I thought I would answer all the questions that you never asked in hopes of maybe a healthier and happier life for you, and maybe some trauma dumping catharsis for me. Let's see. But first, just a quick thanks to everyone at patreon.com/ologies for making this show possible. You can join if you'd like for $1 a month. You can submit questions to the ologists ahead of time. Thanks also to everyone wearing Ologies merch on their bods. You can get that at ologiesmerch.com. And do we sell bathing suits? So other sunbathing hotties can identify each other? We do. So put us on your butts. Also, thank you to everyone who sent me well wishes as I have been recovering from this mystery surgery, and also for leaving me reviews for me to read from my couch, such as this recent one from C Love, who wrote, "One show and I was hooked. I love how you share your life with us. Love your guests and all the topics. Please stay well and keep potting. Love you, Dad Ward." Which, if I may say, it's an apt one this week because I am about to share perhaps too much of me in an effort to stay well. So thank you, C-Love. And also anyone who's ever left a review, I've read every single one of them. That is the truth. And often they make me cry. Speaking of crying, let's reveal what in the effing heck is going on with me. Did I have a planned abdominal surgery? Is that where I've been? Did I have a facelift? Did I get a toe removed for cosmetic reasons? Was it fun? How much did it hurt? And come along with me as I find out what this means for the rest of my life. But it's casual. We keep it casual. It's heartfelt, but it's important to me. And I hope maybe to someone in your life. Okay, let's do it. Okay, it's January 25th, 2024, and this is just day one of this. I got off the phone with my doctor earlier this morning. Actually, first thing this morning, I had a call with a lawyer about estate planning and what happens if I become incapacitated and need a power of attorney and living will and an advance directive, all these things. I had this like big phone call this morning to get all that shit in order. So this was a long-standing item on my to-do list. It's taken me years to figure out how to do it. But if you're listening to this and you're alive, make some preparations in case you die, which you will. Probably not today, but the fun of life is you never know. What is not fun, though, is paperwork. I know. Trust me. So do it for the other people you love. Let your loved ones know if they should throw you into the sea or if they should have a bounce house at your wake, and also get a will. If you own a home, congrats, and get that shit in a trust or make arrangements for who gets it if you get attacked by a zoo animal or something. So if you don't do this whilst alive, it can go into like probate and your relatives need to come up with lawyer's fees just to have the chance to sell off your stuff. So let this be your message from me and from life that use like LegalZoom or set aside a day to Google it. I finally did it. I had this big phone call on my calendar for weeks, and by chance, the hospital reached out the very same day.
And then an hour later, I talked to my doctor on the phone and learned that there's a 10% chance I have uterine cancer right now. There's a 90% chance that I don't. But the next step we decided is to get a hysterectomy, which I'll get late next month.
If you've ever voted or will vote, it affects reproductive rights, particularly for people who were born with a uterus. And if you're one of those people who have elite, complicated organs that evolved to grow human life, congrats. It can get real messy up in there. It's kind of like owning a vintage car or a large fish tank. It's cool. It's not always easy. So if you're human on planet Earth, you benefited from these organs because you grew inside of them, and you should know how they work and what can go wrong. So by listening, you're going to relate to the biological sex that has to deal with this, and you'll be a responsible human. Also, am I going to die of cancer soon? Let's find out.
I had asked if I could get a hysterectomy like 2 years ago, and they were like, you can't just get a hysterectomy because you're afraid of cancer. I was like, but aren't my risks high? I should have had them note in my chart that they said no. But either way, I'm scared. I'm worried that...
Hi, Gami.
I'm worried that my life's been too good for too long and this is another shoe dropping, although it hasn't been that great. I mean, I was hospitalized this summer. It's been a long road back. I had pneumonia. I've been sick a lot. My dad died. Things haven't been very super easy. I have had a rough go of it, but I'm always afraid that if things are going too well, that something bad is going to happen.
Oh, hello, anxiety. How are you? Unfounded. Amazing. Great to see you again. So I've learned recently that thinking that when things are good, they're about to get real shitty soon is not a law of universal karma. It's an anxiety disorder, maybe PTSD. So thanks, therapy.
No problem.
Things you can do about this include meditating. Deep breathing actually physiologically helps. You can talk to a friend or a counselor or journal to see patterns of the good and the bad in your life. And one thing that I've started doing every day for the last like 6 months is to journal in the morning to write down what I'm looking forward to and what I'm worried about or what I'm avoiding. And then I check back at the end of the day to see how it turned out. And over even a week, you'll start to see patterns where things didn't go as badly as you thought. And if you keep doing this, maybe journaling for life, you can develop more just trust and confidence in your ability to handle some tough situations. And that if you already have anxiety, that horrible things tend to occur less often than you anticipate. But this was cause for real concern for sure. So I decided to make some audio recordings on my phone as I went. Perhaps it'll help someone you love. Maybe that person is you, but let's dive back in.
I'm just making this note on the off chance that I decide to document this and just kind of see the arc. Normally, these things are scarier when you first hear them and then you go, oh, why did I waste all that energy on freaking out? Again, they're probably not going to find anything cancerous in my cells and I'll just be glad that I got it over with and I got it out. And it's probably going to hurt. I probably won't be able to bone for a while from what I understand. And yeah, at least I'm documenting this and such. Okay. January 25th, 2024.
All right. So about a week later, they said, please bring your vagina and your uterus into your doctor's office. So I did. And I brought the rest of my body along and you.
I'm debating whether or not I should record it. Maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't. Does that mean that I can write off this whole surgery? Interesting. I'm not nervous. I feel like they're going to tell me that the surgery is going to be like mid-March and they're not going to know anything until I take it out. So do I get a second opinion? Like if something were wrong with my car, I have no idea. All right, here we go.
So I go in and I meet my surgeon, Dr. Kamisha Thomas at USC CAC. I was nervous. I liked her immediately. So I showed her my crotch. It was like a first date, except with insurance, it cost less and it was not romantic. But I recorded notes as I walked back to the car.
All right. So I just got back, and essentially what my doctor's amazing and I love her. And she told me that they can go two ways. They can take it out of your stomach.
Your abdominal cavity, not your actual stomach. So please do not email me. I love you.
Or they can just yank it out of your puss. And so she had me up in those stirrups, felt around. She told me I had a small uterus. So I was like, thank you. And she said she could get it out that way, which is awesome. And so that means I'm a great candidate.
So I learned through going through all this that hysterectomies are one of the most common gyno surgeries after a cesarean section or a dilation and curettage, which is a thing that is done to open up your cervix and then clear out tissue after a miscarriage or to do diagnostics. So when you hear of a DNC in reproductive legislature, just know that some states and some male lawmakers in the U.S. want to tell others, no, you can't have a vital procedure to deal with uterine tissue. But hysterectomies are common, and my surgeon even does them as gender-affirming care for trans men and non-binary folks, and they can take your uterus and your cervix and your fallopian tubes. They can leave the ovaries for hormones, or they can take them. Now, this operation can happen three different ways. One, they may cut into your abdominal cavity to just remove it. Or two, they can puncture a few holes through your six-pack to laparoscopically cut some cords, and then they remove the organs through your existing vagine. And that second option is easier because you might as well use the loading dock that you've got rather than just Kool-Aid man through your abs. So those two methods, though, they still have pretty long-ass recovery time, maybe months. However, there's this new technique called V-Notes, which is a plucky little acronym for vaginal natural orifice transluminal endoscopic surgery. Thanks so much. And this lets you totally avoid the abdominal incisions altogether. Nothing goes through your abdomen. You just head up in there, you cut some stuff, and you beep, beep, beep that mess out of your unused baby chute. So that is the easiest way to do it. And I made the mistake of Googling this new V-Notes surgery, which led me to a YouTube animation with these clean CGI graphics and this patient represented kind of by a translucent apparition.
Gel seal cap is secured to the Alexis retractor by closing the lever, and the insufflation tubing is connected to the insufflation port on the gel seal cap.
I'm sorry, what?
And I learned that the patient, me, would be in the supine lithotomy position. And then I Googled that, and it means I'd have my legs in the air in braces and my ass at the end of the table, just as, look at my crotch, as you could possibly be for a few hours, which is fine. And then they shuttle your guts out of that most sacred sexual area. So V-Notes, it's all through the chute you got. That's what we're going for.
And she said that healing is a lot better that way. It's easier, it's faster, it's less painful, all that stuff, which is cool. She's going to schedule me on a Friday morning so that I have the whole weekend and that day to recover. I asked what kind of possibilities are there for cancer, sitting at like 10-15% probably. But I asked, like, will they take anything else while they're in there, like lymph nodes or anything? And she said they can do a visual inspection of it. If they see something that looks like it is cancer, they can just grab the lymph nodes right then and there. But typically they wait for pathology and they see if it is cancer. They see if it's stage three or beyond, then they'll go back in for the lymph nodes.
Okay. We're going to get some basics down. So uterus, it's about a fist-sized hollow place where a baby grows before the stork plucks it out with its beak and then puts it on your doorstep. And lining the uterus is this thing called an endometrium, which is tissue that grows thicker during a person's monthly cycle. And then if they don't use all that blood to make another person, then it gets sloughed off and it gets ejected out the vag as a period. Now, on the topic of an endometrium. So when someone has endometriosis, it means that endometrial-like tissue grows in places it is not invited, in places outside the uterus, like on the fallopian tubes that lead to the ovaries, and sometimes in places that are not even your reproductive organs, such as one's bladder or large intestines, like your colon's like, how did I even get involved in this?
No, get out of here. Leave me alone.
There's also thoracic endometriosis, which is when uterus-like stuff crops up on or around the lungs or on that wall of muscle in your abdomen, the diaphragm, sending shooting nerve pain that radiates through your shoulder and your back. So this can cause excruciating misery and a massive drop in quality of life. Is there a cure for endometriosis? Some folks opt for a total hysterectomy and or surgeries to root around like a truffle pig and excise it in other parts of the body, if they can even locate it. There's pain management, but no cure, really. So why not? Now, in the 2020 textbook, the Palgrave Handbook of Critical Menstrual Studies is a chapter titled, "The Womb Wanders Not, Enhancing Endometriosis Education in a Culture of Menstrual Misinformation." And its author, Heather Guidone, is a program director for the Center for Endometriosis Care and writes that, quote, "Embedded in the centuries-old assertion that the womb was a nomadic entity wandering about the body causing hysteria and distress, persistent menstrual misconceptions remain prevalent where pain disorders like endometriosis are concerned." And she continues, "Derived from the misogynist antediluvian belief that painful menstruation was ordained by nature as a punishment for failing to conceive, pregnancy has long been suggested as a treatment or even cure for endometriosis." So heck, you want to avoid painful periods, just stop having them by growing and then ejecting a baby. That's convenient. It doesn't hurt at all. Now, I have friends who have endometriosis, and one of them frequently has to pull over to the side of the road just to writhe in pain and then just get back into traffic. She's had laparoscopic surgery to find it, and it's still a mystery where it is. 176 million people around the world have endometriosis. No one knows what causes it. But that was a whole sidetrack because I don't even have endometriosis. So what's going on then? Here's what's going on with me. So I happen to be in the elite 1% of folks whose ovaries just dip out early. The Irish goodbye. So you're born with all the eggs you'll ever have in your life, which means that the egg that turned into you grew inside of your mom, in your grandma. I don't know about you, but my grandma was a bitch. So that's weird that we were just such juicy turducken roommates, the three of us, for a bit. But that's, again, that's not the point. Also, once I had a dream that my grandma came to me and said, "Sorry, I was kind of evil and abusive. It's just that I didn't even really want kids. I wanted to be an artist." But it was the 1940s and I'm Catholic, so I had six kids and hated everyone. And when I say that this conversation came to me in a dream, I mean during a pharmaceutical-grade mushroom trip that I took at the suggestion of my very buttoned-up Western medicine psychiatrist. And I tell you, an experience I'll never forget. What a party it was in my brain. Anyway, because my particular ovaries retired early and put up a gone fishing sign before I turned 35, and this was medically not according to plan, it took 3 years of going to doctors to figure out what was up. I had three male doctors tell me maybe it was just stress, and two looked me in the face and asked me if I could just quit my job and find someone to marry, which stressed me out even more. But I went through menopause like 15 years too early, and I had to figure out like how to navigate relationships and how to process that kids weren't really in the cards for me personally. Even though someone with primary ovarian failure can foster or adopt or even have a kid with a donor egg, or sometimes your ovary might just groan one to life or pop out an egg unannounced, which is rude. But for myself, I just kind of knew it wasn't my destiny, which is a little bit of a part of why I'm your internet father or your dad, Ward. I just kind of didn't identify with motherhood. But like endometriosis, primary ovarian insufficiency or premature ovarian failure, what I've got is what's called idiopathic. And that comes from the Greek, I love this, for idios, just meaning an ignorant person. And idiopathic, medically, just means no one knows why it happens, which means no one studied it enough, I guess. Now, if you have NARDS and you're still listening, you're one of the good ones. Or you might be saying, what does this even have to do with me? Okay, so if your hormone makers, them nuts, suddenly and just without warning, shut down the factory, imagine not having that cocktail of chemical messengers that you rely on.
No, that would suck, wouldn't it?
It would suck.
So without enough estrogen, you may have hot flashes and feel like random, searingly hot fevers. Your brain can't always remember things because estrogen is helpful in making dopamine, as discussed in our two-part ADHD episode. So you may start having massive executive functioning issues. As many people going through natural menopause experience, and progesterone, which you also don't make if your ovaries peace out, can have a really calming effect. So if your ovaries tank, you may find that irritability is just causing you to do things like research huts on remote islands, far away from anyone who chews too loud. And I should also say that I'm fortunate there's this company called Rosebud Woman, and they make OBGYN-approved plant-based vulvar and vaginal moisturizers for people going through perimenopause and menopause and pre and postnatal business, and really anyone in need of skincare for down there. And the founder of this company was going through menopause and found that a lot of stuff made for discomfort was really just lube geared for sex, or it was really medicalized. So she made this company, which has gone on to do like gangbusters and has been written up by Oprah and Wired and Allure and Vogue and Vanity Fair. And I use it all the time. I have some. Another fun fact about Rosebud Woman is that the founder is my husband's mom, Christine Mason, and it's a family-run business. So I definitely had an inside track, and I'm very glad Rosebud invented this stuff for people like us. So just a genuine plug for them. You can use it on all kinds of vulvas, even if you're not a woman. Anyway, if you have ovarian failure early and your doctor cares, they will put you on estrogen replacement therapy, which is great. They might even check your testosterone levels and give you a supplement for that, which is awesome. So stick with me here, because here's where all my problems started. So if you're on estrogen, you need to take progesterone at the same time to prevent your endometrial lining from building up since you're not doing any perioding. Here's the hitch. So they'll usually give you a synthetic progesterone called a progestin. For some folks, no problemo. Two thumbs up. For others, this makes things worse and it really fucks with your head, like hormonally. Think like crying jags, irritability, like terrible PMS all the time. I was one of those people. So I was just trying to go about my life while also feeling like absolute hot trash constantly. So if your doctor is good, they will care and they might try you on progesterone, not progestin. And some people tolerate it better. It'll make you feel right again. But if you're in a pandemic and can't get to see your doctor because there are morgues on wheels in our major cities, you might stop taking your synthetic progesterone before learning of other options. If you do this for a few years, you won't feel great, and that unopposed estrogen can lead to cancer. How can you tell? Well, you suddenly start bleeding and you think, oh, boy, howdy, maybe my ovaries work again. But also you Google to learn that this is a symptom in 90% of uterine cancer patients. And then when you tell doctors what's happening and that you stopped taking your progesterone a year or so ago, they might stifle a horrified gasp. And then without any anesthesia, shove a tool into your uterus and try to scrape out flesh with some sort of hospital melon baller to look at it under a microscope. So this endometrial biopsy, it hurts a lot. Most pain you've ever felt. Maybe you've been hit by a car before and got your hand chewed up by an escalator like me. This hurts more just on a random Tuesday afternoon. And it's not really something you can tell people back at the office, like if you had been hit by a car. Nobody buys you a beer. Now, if their tests are inconclusive because that pumpkin scooper didn't go deep enough, they got to figure something else out. They might do a pelvic ultrasound. In my case, they did, and they found it all normal. I was like, okay, but I was still feeling awful and was having fevers a lot and losing blood. So I found a new doctor, and it turns out that my ultrasound was not at all normal. If I had been in my teens, it would have been normal. But no, for someone with my history, it was abnormal and worrisome. So good thing I asked a new doc because it might be saving my life. Now, in this case, my new doctor, Dr. Thomas, was proactive. And I love her for that. Now, if they find a cancer goblin in there, how big is that?
Stage one is it's only in the first 50%, the inner 50% of the uterine lining. Over 50% is stage two, and then outside the uterus is stage three. But she said they can do a visual inspection, and sometimes cancer looks like, she described it as like algae on your organs. I think the pathology report comes in a few days later. I did discuss like why, if I had a thick endometrium as someone who's postmenopausal, how did no one flag that? She was like, they should have.
Again, very glad I switched doctors and found someone who actually looked into this.
So that's kind of the scoop.
Look, you got a scoop. I get it.
I asked how many people are on the surgical team. Just curious. I wanted to get kind of like a Grey's Anatomy visual of it. And it's her, another surgeon, an anesthesiologist, a nurse. There might be a physician's assistant in there. She said during the surgery, if they see anything that looks suspicious, they can, in the middle of the operation, talk to Jarrett and say, hey, we're going to take more out of her. And I'm sure he'll say, go for it, man. And got a little speculum up my hoo-ha. She was very gentle and kind. And yeah, she seems proactive. And that's exciting. She said when she walked in that she recognized me from somewhere. And I was like, do you ever maybe watch like kids shows, like kids science shows, like on Netflix? Or I was like, maybe I'm just in the hospital too often. Who knows? But anyway, yeah, this is how it's going to go. March 1st, I just want to get it yoinked out. I'm really eager to see what the pathology report says. And I wish I'd known so much of this before. Not all progesterones make you feel terrible. You can't just wait it out. And if you're bleeding or have something abnormal, like get a second opinion if you don't feel like you're being listened to. It's so frustrating. But yeah, you really got to advocate for yourself. All right. Keep it posted.
All right. So all of this has been going on in the background for me for months. And I spent a lot of February just wringing my hands waiting for this big surgery to happen on March 1st. I mentioned it to y'all, but didn't tell you what it was. And I told a few friends, but I didn't even want to tell my mom in those weeks because I just didn't want her to worry. And I had also learned from when I had pneumonia that instead of suffering and hoping that people offer you the comfort and the soup that you'd like, just tell them straightforwardly what you need. Tell people you could use some support or some pho and ask them ahead of time if you need to check in on you. And don't just expect people you love to read your mind, especially if you're usually the kind of person who tries to be independent and not burden anyone. So I had already processed a lot of the fertility stuff and the womanhood complexities and relationship insecurities caused by ovarian failure, you know, 8 or so years ago. And trust me, if you're going through something like this, you're going to need some extra TLC, maybe a counselor or a therapist that can talk you through it or a support group. But for this potential cancer news I've been going through and the surgery, I decided to just man up and invite a little group of girlfriends over 2 days before the operation just to say goodbye to my reproductive system and to eat a cake. And my pre-op appointment was the same day, bright and early. And also, I was giving a keynote speech to 4,000 people for NASA an hour after this appointment. It's exciting. So it was a busy day. So let's head in. Let's learn what to expect during this pre-op appointment.
Yeah. Dr. Thomas?
Is this for like a pre-op?
Yeah.
Just take the elevator behind you.
Okay.
And then just make a right.
Oh, look at this. Solo aging makes me sad.
I was nervous. I was feeling optimistic. And then I glanced at the back wall of the elevator and I skimmed the bulletin board of informational flyers.
Look at this. Look at this. Elder abuse. Active shooter response, run, hide, fight, solo aging. What the fuck, dude? This is the saddest
bulletin board I've ever seen in my life.
It's, it's kind of like, I don't think that works together.
Onward, Ward.
I'm here for a pre-op.
Sure. What's your first and last name?
Allison Ward.
They gave me my hospital ID bracelet to hang on to.
Put this on, but can you please verify the spelling of your name and date of birth?
Oh, wait, this is Raymond's.
Whoops.
That's okay. I don't know what he's getting, but if it's better, then I'll take it.
Take care. No wild parties.
No wild parties.
Till the weekend.
Till the after the surgery. I'm on it.
I filled out some forms just about my health history, and one asked if I had any religious affiliations.
I mean, yikes. It always is a little scary to be in case we have to have someone pray over your dying body.
Yeah.
Allison?
Yep.
Good morning.
Hi.
Before any surgery, they'll usually have you come in and confirm some stuff.
When you've had anesthesia previously, any trouble with nausea or stomach upset afterward?
No, not that I can remember.
Excellent. Take a look at these two columns. See if you've had any of those either now or in the past.
What constitutes mental disease?
It could be depression, anxiety, anything like that.
Who doesn't?
Do I need to let the anesthesiologist know I'm not a real redhead?
Oh, wait, actually, yeah, it's good okay. to know. So, yeah, let them know.
Good to know.
Very good. And even if you didn't, you'd be okay. It's actually yeah. the other way around. That it's better for them to know when you are a real redhead.
Oh, so they can give you a little more?
Yes.
Okay. If we check in at 5:30 and surgery 7:30, like what time do they start doing anesthesia?
So what they do is they bring you into the operating room and they actually don't give you the anesthesia until you get into the operating room.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, they say that they want you to have, in this nurse's words, a nice clear head because you're going to be asked many times if you know that you're getting an operation and what it's for. And when Jarrett had ACL knee surgery a few years back, you can see the genicular traumatology episode if you have bad knees, and we'll link it in the show notes. But they have you write yes on the body part they're operating on to make sure that they have written bodily consent. And I wondered, I'm like, do I need to take a Sharpie and like write on my inner thigh, like this hole, not this one, with arrows? That'd be fun. Also, if you're wondering how many holes are down there, where people pee out of, you can enjoy the urology episode about crotch parts with a truly amazing surgeon, Dr. Fenwa Milhouse. But also we have a philology episode about dicks with Dr. Emily Willingham. We got a gynecology one with Dr. Philippa Ribbink, and linking it all together, perhaps a dolorology episode with Dr. Rachel Zofness, which is about pain.
It's gonna be bad.
For you, it will.
No, it's
gonna
be fine for you.
I gotta bring my little yellow sweater. Some people bring their favorite little blankie.
Yeah, that sounds. You okay?
Yeah.
You more nervous?
Really, just about NASA talk.
I mean, it truly was thrilling to give a keynote talk for NASA. I was so excited and it went great. But yeah, it's just a little bit of an intense day. But that night, I had invited those few close lady friends I've known for decades over, and they made me feel so loved and so cared for earnestly. I want to cry just thinking about it. My friend Catherine brought a cake with the words, "I'm over it." And my friend, Dr. Kara Santa Maria, who's been through this surgery but laparoscopic, brought me special pillows that helped her, and a friend and scheduling producer, Noelle Dilworth, gave me a whole basket of tea and treats and a cozy mug and a fleece hoodie. And Lizette brought slippers and a blankie, even though I told everyone no gifts, just hugs. And all in all, I'm just very lucky and glad that on the eve of something so scary that I just asked these pals to be there for me, and they showed up, and we also got to eat pizza. So if you or someone you know is going through something scary, see if a little gathering just might make them know that they're cared for. It really helped me a lot. But the night before the surgery, things got pretty real for me.
I guess now would be the time when I should be recording this, but it's the night before. It's 8 o'clock. I've got to be up at 5 a.m. to be at the hospital at 5:30, and I'm just crying a lot. This is the first time I've been really, really scared about it. And Jarrett's working late so that he can take a couple days off. And I'm scared of it hurting. I'm scared of waking up in the middle of it. But I'm scared that tomorrow's going to be like some line where it's like before you had something really wrong with you and after. And I'm just afraid of crossing that boundary, I guess. And feeling relieved that I'll know, but also just really scared that this is like another big shoe that's going to drop. I keep thinking I'm so lucky in my life, and I am, but it's also like, it seems like everything's really great and terrible all at once, all the time. But at least there's anesthesia.
So when Jared got home, he was such a comfort. And before he went to sleep, he opened up his notes app on his phone just to take down any questions that we might want to ask the doctor right before surgery. And so I asked him to write down things like, you know, is anyone going to see my butthole? How many people are going to see it? Can you make sure nobody looks at my butthole too much? Also, once you remove my organs, are you going to take a picture of them so that I can use them for my LinkedIn profile? can you please do any catheter business when I am completely unconscious? So in a minute, I'll tell you which of those questions we actually asked. But first, we're going to take a break for some sponsors of the show. But before we do, we're going to donate to a cause. And this week, I'd like it to go to the Monta Vista Cancer Awareness Club, which is a group of high school students in Northern California who create posters spreading awareness on various cancers. They write letters to cancer patients. They collab with San Francisco's cancer support community. They host bake sales to donate to cancer research. They make care packages for patients, and they share survivor stories and support anyone affected by cancer. And this club was actually started by my niece in memory of my dad, your grandpa, who passed away from cancer in 2022. So, Sophia, you're a gem, my dear. I'm sorry this episode is pretty gross. I don't love that my family might listen, but hey, it's my truth and my crotch. Maybe it'll help someone. All right, thanks to sponsors of the show for making that donation to the Monta Vista Cancer Awareness Club possible.
What do you get for the mom who burst you into the world? I know, a candle. Are you like, no, that's not quite enough. How about memories that she'll love looking at every day? Aura frames? I love them. So they're a digital photo frame. They were named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and by me. And Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected. You can add unlimited photos and videos, and you can invite as many people as you want to the frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees. There's no subscriptions. You can also react with cute emojis if you'd like, and you can show you love a photo. You can send congratulations or more. It's so wonderful that A, it's not a candle, and also it's not sharing your photos on social media to look at. It's just there. You can share it with the people who you love. I have mentioned this so many times, but my parents have an Aura that I got them. My dad loved that. I have gotten Aura frames for friends, for family members of friends. So I'm a really big fan of them. I love what they do. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. So that's AuraFrames.com. Use the code ologies at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. I love these things.
Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Do you know what that means? It means I won't be making soup over a hot stove. I will be making Factor, because they are fresh, never frozen meals that are dietitian approved. They're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. And watch out, they're delicious. I was like, are they really as good as people say? I have some neighbors. One of them's a nurse. One of them is a firefighter. And yes, they're both as attractive as they sound. They're like, yeah, we love Factor meals. And I was like, I bet you do. You're gorgeous. Boom. Tried them. I was like, these are delicious. They're also good for days when I'm lazy. They have 35 different meals. You'll always have new flavors to explore. I have never had a Factor meal that I've been like, nah. They've all been so good. Restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon and shrimp and blackened salmon. Also, way more healthy and less expensive than takeout or ordering in. So there you go. Trust my hot neighbors. Head to factormeals.com/ologies50 and use the code ologies50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code ologies50 at factormeals.com/ologies50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Bon appetit, you're welcome. With Capella University's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. I know I usually save my secrets for the end of the episode, but I'm going to tell you my secret favorite candy. It's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. It's really Reese's anything, but Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the thing that I'm like, have I had a bad day? I get these. Have I had a good day? I get these. Chocolate, salty peanut butter, the textures, I love everything about them. Also that there's two. So I'm like, oh, I get this one for later, which is 1 second later. Anyway, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, I love you. That's all. If you're me, you can shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you. Found wherever candy is sold. And I am. Okay, let's figure out what is up and what the prognosis is. Come along.
Okay, pre-op room. I brought a blankie. I have an IV line in and it kind of hurts. Oh, I'm scared, but it's going to be a go. Okay.
So yes, I brought a blanket that my mom knitted for me years ago. And 10 out of 10, bring a blanket to the hospital if they'll let you. I stole this hot tip from Dr. Santa Maria and it is great because not only is it cozy and warm and a comfort, but also hospital blankets suck shit and they are like thinner than a tortilla, and they're only warm for like 2 minutes if they're fresh out of the blanket ovens. And then you feel like a dick asking for more layers of them. So yeah, I was very happy that I brought that along. Definitely recommend. I was ready to go. And Dr. Thomas came in, asked if we had any questions, and we asked a few of them about the catheter and anesthesia. And then Jarrett pulled up the notes app and told Dr. Thomas that I wanted to ask if anyone would see my butthole. And I don't know if she knew we were kidding. Because, of course, your whole junk is, like, in the limelight. Your ass in the air, spread eagle, with, like, a volleyball team's worth of people fixated on the star of the show, which is your crotch. But the doctor at least humored us and said that, don't worry, that won't be the focus of the operation. And she also said that, yes, once they take out my organs, she's going to take a picture for me. Now, while we were waiting to go in, the hospital PA system went off, and it was an announcement that the staff should report to the ICU for a code blue. And now, if I had not been doing this podcast for so many years, I would have completely not even registered. I would have thought that it was like a secret code for like bagels in the break room. But no. So code blue in a hospital means that there's a cardiac arrest or someone is flatlining. And so me and Jarrett and the nurse kind of went silent. I was sending the person good vibes. And then like maybe a minute later, as this nurse was adjusting my IV, the speakers kind of crackled again, announcing a cancellation of the blue code. And I asked the nurse like, if that was a good sign, like if the person is okay. And she just stopped and she looked at Jarrett like, should we tell her? And I'm still hoping that it was a cancellation, the person was okay. So I made a wish that that person just pulled through suddenly, and then I asked for drugs. So the anesthesiologist gave me something to calm the jitters, and the nurses agreed it would kind of feel like a margarita, and within milliseconds, I could have committed karaoke with no remorse. And then I remember being wheeled into the OR and feeling like, you know, when you're in a restaurant, you're looking for the restroom, but you accidentally just like barge into the kitchen and you're like, whoa, I don't belong backstage like this. I shouldn't be seeing all this equipment and people. But in the OR, in that fog, I realized, hey, I'm the main course. I'm just surrounded by trays and napkins and little knives. These folks are about to cook. So I remember getting on a table, but then the next thing I know, I'm coming to hours later in a recovery bed. And it feels like there is a tiny man trapped in the void of my baby maker area, and he's trying to get out with a pickaxe, or like some sort of beaked animal is trying to hatch out of my abdomen. And I remember having no control of my face and frowning the hardest I've ever frowned. I couldn't, just wincing in pain. And I asked Jared to take a picture of my face for posterity. And friends, I just saw it again. Looking through my pictures, I look like a sculpture of myself made of white cheddar cheese that someone tried to microwave, like a little greasy. Every feature has succumbed to the gravity of my pain. So they gave me a little more painkiller, which took it from like an 8 on the pain scale to a reasonable 3. So the drugs worked again, but parts of my body did not work.
March 1st, 4:10 p.m., still in recovery. I don't want to be recording this, but I'll be glad that I did. Still in the recovery room, been here for like 4 hours. My bladder refuses to cooperate. It will not pee. It's not going to pee. I'm like, what's your problem? They say it's asleep. Anyway, so I'm still here. I'm groggy, but hanging in there. Okay, bye.
So the nurses literally sent Jarrett to the cafe to get me 2 coffees and a big water. I drank it all. Finally happened. At 5 p.m., we went home. 5 hours later than we were supposed to. But I got posted up on the couch eating a frozen Otter Pop thing. And I was really lucky to have Jarrett to just fetch things at my whim and get me soup and stuff. And with the type of laparoscopy through the abdomen, which I didn't have, your muscles need weeks to repair themselves. And like sitting up, standing, walking is all, from what I understand, somewhere between, ooh, ouch, and why was I born? Like, hurts so bad. I was lucky that I didn't have that. I had this newer V-notes method. And Dr. Thomas later told me that it was a good surgery and it was fun vibes in the OR, which I like to hear. I feel like I threw a good little party, even though I was in hardcore stirrups and not much of a conversationalist, but I'm glad I have pictures of it. Like a very goopy photo booth.
All right, 24 hours out,
March 2nd, 10 a.m. Yesterday was a bit painful at the end, but I'm home, only on ibuprofen, and the surgeon was great. And so far, they didn't see any tumors or anything, but they got to send it off to pathology. And they let me look at a picture of what my disemboweled reproductive organs looked like. And it was horrifying. It looked like a turnip made out of meat. It was disgusting. But it's not mine anymore. It's funny to think that it's in a freezer somewhere. I don't know if they incinerate it, but someone's slicing it up like a deli ham, and they're going to take a peek at it. So anyway, I'm doing 1,000% better than I thought I was going to be doing. And I'm eating a Pedialyte Otter Pop on the couch. Woohoo!
So yeah, a good several days on the couch, napping, and I took the opiates for just a day, but they made me feel a bit loopy. It was a lot harder to cross-stitch, and Tylenol was working fine. Pain was honestly about like a 2 or 3 out of 10 once I got home from the hospital, which was amazing. But the hardest part was knowing that I had to wait a whole week for the pathology report, just not sure what they found. But yeah, just at this point, just a few days on the couch went by, and then got a surprise. I pressed record on the voice notes app.
All right, 7:37 on March the 4th. It's a Monday. I'm 3 days out from the surgery, and I thought I'd be in way more pain, but I'm doing pretty well. I'm on ibuprofen, Tylenol. I went to the movies. I did some walking around and didn't expect to get pathology reports for another week, they told me. And then on the way home from seeing Dune 2, I opened up my email and saw the pathology reports were in and they are clear and I do not have cancer. And the car has something to say about that. Very excited. I don't have cancer. It's really good news. And I feel elated and also like I'm still holding my breath. Like, so is there something else bad I should know about? But that's just anxiety talking. And I'm really glad that I got it taken out so that I don't have to worry about it being a ticking time bomb in my crotch as it has been. And it's bonkers. And we're going to go get some pasta. And now I got to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life since it's not going to be as short as I thought it might be. At least, I mean, I can get killed tomorrow, but you know what I mean?
Anything can happen to anyone at any time. So very earnestly, let's try our best to be grateful for what we're working with. I'm so grateful for health insurance. I'm lucky I have it because this whole shebang would have easily cost me $20,000 out of pocket, absolutely inaccessible without health insurance, which is horrifying. But yeah, I got the email. I screamed a little. I cried. I let my friends and family know. My mom sent me a picture of her and my sister Janelle and my brother-in-law Steve eating a tiny ice cream cone to celebrate. And if you've listened to the episodes of Taking Care of My Late Father, you know that it's our family's little toast to him as well. So they ate those for me that night and I cried looking at the pictures. So yeah, life is not perfect. It never will be. Sometimes things hurt a lot. Sometimes you don't see things coming. Sometimes you do. And then they veer and they spare you at the last second. And this time I feel really lucky. I'm getting a little more time than I thought.
It's time to live life a little bit.
I mean, we're living it. It's the best. It's the best.
This is exciting.
It's so very exciting.
Yes. I love you.
I love you so fucking much. I'm just delighted.
It's weird. This is good.
So thanks for listening this far. Thank you to everyone who thought of me on the first. It meant a lot to me. This is the scariest thing I think I've ever been through. I feel very lucky that we caught anything before it turned into something worse. So ask smart doctors, not smart questions. And if you need a second opinion, get it. It might save your life. On a follow-up call with Dr. Thomas, she let me know that with the condition I had and some cell abnormalities, it could have later developed into something cancerous. So here's to what I'm very lucky to consider a success. So I hope this ride along, I know it was a lot of info, too much info, but I hope it was informative enough so that if you know someone going through a health issue, any health issue or one like this, I hope this gives you some ideas on how to support them or maybe for you, how to ask for support or how to take care of yourself or how to try to stay calm and optimistic until you get all the facts. Or maybe you or someone you know is getting this actual procedure for gender affirming care or endometriosis or another reason, and now you know more about it. If you don't have this anatomy, but if you vote in any country, others' reproductive health is on the line, so y'all better educate yourselves in those matters, how things work, so you know how much it matters. And a new study came out recently that cancer's on the rise in young adults. So monitor your health, don't ignore funky stuff, and just know that the sooner you get it checked out, the easier and potentially the cheaper it's going to be. And the fact that I live in a country where so many people don't have access to healthcare is gutting to me. No pun intended, since they did take my guts out. But again, vote like someone else's life depended on it. Special thanks, as always, to Aaron Talbert, who admins the Ologies Podcast Facebook group, with assist from Bonnie Dutch and Shannon Feltes. Thank you for their support, too. Our scheduling producer and care package angel is Noelle Dilworth. Susan Hale is so supportive and is also our managing director. Kelly R. Dwyer makes the website. Aveline Malik makes the transcripts. And of course, our lead editor and empath is the lovely Mercedes Maitland of Maitland Audio. Thank you to the whole team for busting out some encores as I recovered. And thank you to Dr. Kara Santa Maria for all the advice. Lizette, Sarah, Crystal, Catherine, Daylin, Noelle, Susan for having cake and farewells to my gonads. And Mackenzie for the dinner and all the supportive check-in texts. To my mom, my sisters, and of course your pod mother, Jarrett Sleeper, for taking such good care of me during this time and always. Again, his mom's company, Rosewood Woman. Mahuha loves that stuff, honestly. And if you stick around to hear a secret, first off, this whole episode is just a sloshing bucket of TMI. So how are you thirsty still? But I will tell you, as I was in recovery drinking cafeteria coffee and water and just begging myself to pee so that I could go home, one nurse and Jarrett got on either side of me and walked me to the bathroom. I'm like doubled over. And on our way there, we passed the nurse's station where their tones seemed to suggest they were gossiping about like probably another nurse. And one of them with her back to me said, "What is wrong with her?" And I had the rare opportunity to say, "I just had a hysterectomy." And then they all fell silent for like one tense moment. And I got to go, "Ha, ha, this guy." And it was a good time. I scared him, but we all had a happy little chuckle about it. Also, if you think of it, it's nice to like bring a little treat, like some cookies or a fruit basket or something for the staff taking care of you. Little heads up, Jarrett brought him cookies, which was good since we were there 5 hours later than we were supposed to. Anyway, thank you for listening this far. It means a lot to me. I'm glad we all know what happened during my planned abdominal surgery. And I'm back, doing my best. Take care of yourself. Okay, bye-bye.
Pachydermatology. Homeology. Cryptozoology. Lithology. Nanotechnology. Meteorology. Olfactology. Nephology. Seriology. Selenology.
You won't be needing that anymore.
Suffering from aches and pains? The all-new Tempur-Pedic Adapt mattress eases your pressure points all night, every night. Now, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets at Tempur-Pedic.com. Select adjustable mattress sets only. Lesser savings may apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.